From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Before anything else, I do want to acknowledge a shooting that happened Sunday night at a student event at Illinois State University. This was at the Bone Student Center. One person was injured, not a student, reportedly. Police are still looking for the suspect as we go to air Monday morning. The university isn't saying anything about who the victim was or even what group had booked the space for the party. Our partner station, WGLT in Bloomington Normal, is on the story, and we will follow up as news warrants. On with today's program. Tomorrow, Tuesday, marks 100 days of the Trump administration. For the first part of our program today, we're going to talk about where things stand and where Democrats in, or I should say what Democrats in Congress are doing about it. Nikki Budzinski has represented Illinois' 13th congressional district in the United States House since 2023. She's from Springfield. But her district stretches from the Metro East region near St. Louis up to Springfield, Decatur, and over to Champaign-Urbana. She joins me live this morning. Congresswoman Budzinski, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Good to be with you.
And listeners will have the Congresswoman for about the next 15 minutes or so. If you have questions for her, you can join the conversation at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right, there's so much to talk about in a relatively short amount of time. I want to start with something fairly timely for today, though. This afternoon, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Senate is set to vote on a resolution calling for the school to join a mutual defense compact against the Trump administration's attack on higher education. Do you think they should do it?
I think they should. I mean, I think that this is a really positive step forward, that universities are uniting in solidarity to stand up to the Trump administration. I know, you know, in hearing the news, certainly as the litigation is moving forward with Harvard University, was really glad to see that they stood up against the Trump administration and really retaliatory efforts by this administration to cut off some of their really critical funding for research. And so they're challenging that and they're taking that to court. And I think the University of Illinois standing with other like-minded universities to push back on this administration is a good step forward.
All right, there's more to talk about in terms of what is happening in Washington. So let's turn there now. We've been watching the budgeting process playing out in Congress. And one of the things you have been outspoken about is the prospect of hundreds of billions of dollars in cuts to the Medicaid program, the health care for the poor, elderly, and disabled in this country. What effect would that have on the places that provide care, especially in areas where it's already limited?
Yeah, it would be devastating, Brian. I spent, when I was home during our recess week, I visited with a number of the community health centers that are throughout the district. I also visited with hospitals. I had the opportunity to sit down with Carle Hospital to hear firsthand what these cuts would mean to Medicaid, to our healthcare system in downstate Illinois, in central and southern Illinois. I have 46 different community health centers in the district. They can rely on Medicaid funding for up to 90% of their operating costs. So what you're seeing is, if the Republicans are successful with their with this tax package that the Trump administration is pushing forward, very severe cuts to Medicaid, up to $880 billion of cuts to Medicaid. And as you know, the state of Illinois is a trigger state. What that means is, if our reimbursements for Medicaid go below 90% reimbursement, then we automatically have to freeze and cut off Medicaid expansion recipients. We have almost 700,000 Medicaid expansion recipients in the state of Illinois. I know in the 13th congressional district alone, we have about 58,000 constituents that get access to health care through these Medicaid expansion dollars. So this is going to have a real impact on people's lives, on some of our most vulnerable communities. And it's going to put more pressure on hospital systems, on hospitals like Carle Hospital. I also visited on the more western part of my district. Carlinville has a hospital system. They're going to feel increased pressure if our community health centers are forced to close because of these cuts to Medicaid. And so it's really It really could be very devastating if these Republicans are, if the Republicans are able to move forward their tax package in the coming weeks.
You know, there are a lot of Republican constituents who are on Medicaid. I think, you know, sometimes
Yes.
these programs get sort of caricatured as, oh, it's for you know, urban or you know, populations or whatever, but it's really bipartisan. It's across America. Do you hear from Republicans who are like secretly worried about the electoral consequences of this, or do people on Medicaid not vote, or what are they thinking? What do you hear
Yeah,
from
I
there?
mean, I can say that we're starting to see some of my Republican colleagues slowly, and I think too belatedly, come forward to talk about what this will mean for their constituents. This Medicaid is a lifeline for our rural communities. And as you know, if you look at it from a political perspective, oftentimes our more rural communities do vote predominantly Republican. But Medicaid is not about Democratic or Republican party priorities. It's about helping people, helping seniors, helping children, ensuring that families get access to preventative health care, get access to their health care needs. Medicaid is also, I did a roundtable with those in the disability community. You know, within the disability community, Medicaid is oftentimes what provides for home care and allows them to live independently, free from an institution. We want to be able to maintain that kind of help those folks maintain their independence while also ensuring that they have access to health care. And this impacts very uniquely rural communities, just as much, if not more, than some of our more urban communities in the state of Illinois.
One of the other issues that has been on people's minds lately is the economy, specifically uncertainty about the economy. And a lot of that has been induced by the president's affinity for tariffs. So what have you been hearing from constituents about how these tariffs and threatened tariffs and on again, off again tariffs, you know, what effect have they been having, you know, in your district?
I've been hearing a lot about it. I mean, I think first of all, the whipsaw effect that this administration, the uncertainty that they're creating for small businesses, for our agricultural community here in central and southern Illinois, when this administration puts on 145% tariff on imports from China, for example. That is going to have a real-world impact on people's pocketbooks, first and foremost. I think over these next couple of months, we're going to see increased prices at the grocery store. But also, it's very difficult for businesses, and as I mentioned, agriculture to plan. Illinois is the leading exporter of corn in our country. And that's to other countries such as China. And so what will that mean for our farmers that are trying to move their beans, their corn out into the free market, out into other countries? And I would also say the way this administration is doing this application of tariffs is completely unstrategic. They're penalizing some of our strongest trading partners. And in particular, I want to call out Canada. You know, successfully, a new trade agreement, they refer to it as the USMCA, was renegotiated with Canada and Mexico. It was bipartisan, and it allowed for a strong trading partnership between Canada and the United States. And our farmers, for example, rely on some of the imports from Canada to keep some of their input prices down. But this administration hasn't been strategic about this and has just unilaterally really applied very difficult tariffs across the board. I myself, Brian, I can see the value of using some tariffs very strategically. As you know, I represent Granite City, which is a steel manufacturing community on the western side of the district. So if there are ways to kind of crack down on countries like China that have been historically dumping cheap steel into our markets and hurting our steel workers, then I think we can make strategic tariffs that would help to incentivize more American steel manufacturing. But that is not the strategic conversation or application of these tariffs that we're seeing this administration take. It is often referred to as the chainsaw, you know, effect. It's not done with a scalpel. It's done with a shock and awe kind of strategy that is going to negatively impact working people, and in particular in their pocketbook.
And as you mentioned, farmers, although in the first Trump administration, we did see some of these tariffs. They did relate to steel, and there was retaliation, and the U.S. lost its dominant position in soybeans. And also, farmers were kind of held harmless. Well, I don't know about hold harmless, but they were compensated for that. This time around, I should say, last week on the show, we talked to your colleague Eric Sorensen from the Quad Cities in Rockford about the prospect of another bailout for farmers, as some have called it. He said without that, small family farmers are at risk in a way that bigger corporations really are not. On the other hand, I'm going to cite David Frum at The Atlantic, who said, in effect, rural America voted for Trump, and now they should help, pay the bill for what they ordered. How are you thinking about that question of a bailout for farmers?
Well, look, it was a $28 billion price tag that taxpayers had to front the cost to help support our farmers as they were going through the pains of the tariffs of the last trade war of the Trump administration. And when I talk to farmers, they don't want a bailout. They want to be able to grow their crops and move their crops and what they've produced to market. They just want access to new markets. That's overwhelmingly been the message that I've heard since I've been elected, is they want access to these new markets, expanding, not constricting them. And so you look at what these tariffs are really going to mean for our agricultural economy. Who is this going to benefit? It's going to benefit other countries, namely when you're talking about soybean. One of our top competitors is Brazil. This is going to uniquely benefit other places that are going to use these tariffs as a way to move their soybeans into the international market. I think Brazil is going to be a leading beneficiary of these tariffs. And what the struggle with that is that, are we able to reclaim those markets? Are we able to regain the competitive footing that we need in order to support our growers and have them move what they're producing to market? So these tariffs are very regressive. And they're, I think, going to, over the course of these next several months, create some real serious pain points for our farmers. The one thing I've heard in particular, in addition to being wanting access to new markets, is high input prices. And so not only are you crippling a farmer's ability to move what they are producing to market, but you're also, through these tariffs, putting more pressure on them and raising their input prices. So this is really going to create a lot of pain, and I'm going to continue to listen to my farmers on the support that they need and how we're going to be able to move forward.
This weekend, your old boss, Governor J.B. Pritzker, was in New Hampshire. He called for mass protests, mobilization, and disruption. He said these Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. On the other hand, you're part of this center-left New Democrat coalition. You've talked with us about working with Republicans. What do you think of what the governor had to say?
Look, I think we need to call out this administration when they are attacking our very citizens. What's happening in particular on tariffs? We've talked a little bit about they've not done anything to address the rising prices. That was the number one thing that this administration said that they were going to be tackling, is rising costs. They've not done a single thing to do that. If anything, it's been the opposite. They've attacked civil liberties. It's been a full-on assault on the federal government and the workforce that are providing public services. So we need to absolutely 100% call that out. And
Should
I've been
people be in
doing,
the streets?
well, I think people are. I think people are doing organic protests. I hear about that. They're happening all across the district almost on a weekly basis at the state capitol. In Edwardsville, I've been hearing about them at the city library. I think people want to express themselves, and that's their First Amendment right to do that. So I think that that's a good thing. I had 400 people show up to my in-person town hall that I had 2 weeks ago, and I think that speaks to the level of anxiety and fear that there is out there among constituents in the district. But to your other point, Brian, you were mentioning bipartisanship, and I will just say, when there are places where I can't agree, I think it is important to continue to keep a line of communication open to working together. If it is in agriculture, I found a lot of places in workforce development that I can work with my Republican colleagues on. And I think we should continue to keep an open mind to that while still speaking out forcefully against this administration when they are attacking our rights. I think you can do both.
There was the smile politely. The alternative sort of news magazine website in Champaign said, had a recent editorial that said they wanted to see more from you. Would you speak at a protest? I mean, some of your colleagues, AOC, Senator Bernie Sanders, have been touring the country, getting large crowds. Do you think is that a productive approach?
I have been speaking out at protests. I was really proud to speak out on the Capitol steps when this administration signed an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. I was proud to stand with my union brothers and sisters, with the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association, to call out what they're trying to do, which I've always believed is to try to pass this Republican tax package that's only going to benefit the wealthiest 5% in this country, and that they're trying to dismantle our public services in order to line the pockets of their friends like Elon Musk. I've called that out in a number of different rallies. In particular, I've also spoken at a number of postal rallies, you know, in Champaign and Springfield for the last over a year. We've been faced with the potential of downsizing in our distribution centers. I've been happy to hear that the Champaign Distribution Center is not going to be downsized, but we spoke out very forcefully, even in the last administration, about what that would mean for our communities. And I've stood out and spoke out at rallies as it is to support our postal service and the importance of protecting that and fighting against privatization. So I've been proud to be a part of protests that are speaking out on the issues that are going to hurt potentially the communities that I'm so proud to represent.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski represents Illinois' 13th district. Thank you for being with us and sharing your views today here on the 21st show. More to come after a break. Please stay with us.